Welcome to His Word Heals. You can also visit us online at www.hiswordheals.com for all of our past programs, a healing scripture CD, books, and more. In last week's program, we took an in-depth look at the Shemitah year in both the Old and New Testaments. We saw that the Shemitah year is the seventh year in Yahweh's seven-year cycle and is also known as the year of release. According to Yahweh's instructions, in Scripture, the land is supposed to rest the entire seventh year. Debts are to be forgiven at the end of the seventh year, and servants are to be released in the seventh year after 6 years of servitude, and they are to be sent out with severance pay. The Jews believe that we are currently in a Shemitah year, and so do many teachers, including Jonathan Kahn, Mark Biltz, and others who have studied the patterns and dates. We also believe this to be a Shemitah year. This Shemitah year started the fall feasts of 2021 and will end in just a few weeks on Yom Kippur this year, 2022. The Jubilee year is the 50th year, or the year after the 7th Shemitah year, in a series of 7 Shemitahs. Just like Shavuot, or Pentecost, is the 50th day, or day after the 7 weekly Shabbats. 7 times 7 days equals 49 days. Then the next day is the 50th day, and that is Shavuot. Just like 7 times 7 years is 49 years, and then the next year is the 50th year, or the Jubilee year. In today's program, we're going to look at scripture that talks about the Jubilee year. We're going to start with Leviticus chapter 25, then we'll go to Joshua chapter 6, and Exodus 19, and when we put all of these scriptures together regarding the Jubilee year, I think we'll see something very interesting, which could be extremely significant when trying to understand end-time prophecies and the tribulation. So let's start with Leviticus chapter 25, verse 8. And you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years, and the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. Then you shall cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement, you shall make the trumpet to sound throughout all your land. Let's stop there really quick. That is verse 9. And right there where it says, then you shall cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound, it actually should be translated as, then you shall cause the shofar of Teruah to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall you make the shofar sound throughout all your land. So the word shofar is in there, but the word Jubilee or Yovel in the Hebrew is actually not in verse 9. So I'm going to start in verse 9 again and read it the way that it actually is in the Hebrew. Then you shall cause the shofar of Teruah to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur. You shall make the shofar to sound throughout all your land. And you shall consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a Jubilee, or Yovel. It does say Yovel there in the Hebrew. It shall be a Yovel for you. And each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. That 50th year shall be a Jubilee or Yovel to you. In it you shall neither sow nor reap what grows of its own accord, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. For it is the Yovel or Jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its produce from the field. In this year of Yovel, each of you shall return to his possession. That was through verse 13, and for time's sake, we're going to skip to verse 18. So you shall observe my statutes and keep my judgments and perform them, and you will dwell in the land in safety. Then the land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and dwell there in safety. And if you say, what shall we eat in the 7th year, since we shall not sow nor gather in our produce, and this is talking about the Shemitah year, then I will command my blessing on you in the 6th year, and it will bring forth produce enough for 3 years. And so this would cover the Jubilee year as well. It would cover the Shemitah year, the Jubilee year, and the 51st year, or actually the 2nd year in the next Shemitah cycle, when you are planting until that produce comes in the 3rd year. And you shall sow in the 8th year and eat old produce until the 9th year, until its produce comes in, you shall eat of it, of the old harvest. And so the 9th year here would be the year after the Jubilee. So this is all pertaining to the Jubilee. You've got the Shemitah, you can't plant, the land rests. And the Jubilee, you can't plant and the land rests. So the Jubilee is the eighth year of a Shemitah cycle because it's the 50th year, so it's the year after the seventh Shemitah. So then the ninth year is when you could plant, which is the year after the Jubilee year. Verse 23, the land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possession you shall grant redemption of the land. If one of your brethren becomes poor and has sold some of his possession, and if his redeeming relative comes to redeem it, then he may redeem what his brother sold. Or if the man has no one to redeem it, but he himself becomes able to redeem it, then let him count the years since its sale, and restore the remainder to the man to whom he sold it, that he may return to his possession. But if he is not able to have it restored to himself, then what was sold shall remain in the hand of him who bought it until the year of Jubilee, or Yovel, and in the Jubilee it shall be released, and he shall return to his possession. That was verse 28, now skipping down to verse 35. If one of your brethren becomes poor and falls into poverty among you, then you shall help him like a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with you. Take no usury or interest from him, but fear your Elohim, that your brother may live with you. You shall not lend him your money for usury, which is interest, nor lend him your food for a profit. I am Yahweh your Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, to give you the land of Canaan, and be your Elohim. And if one of your brethren who dwells by you becomes poor and sells himself to you, you shall not compel him to serve as a slave. As a hired servant and a sojourner, he shall be with you, and shall serve you until the year of Jubilee. And then he shall depart from you, he and his children with him, and shall return to his own family. He shall return to the possession of his fathers. For they are my servants, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. They shall not be sold as slaves. You shall not rule over him with rigor, but you shall fear Elohim. Skipping to verse 47. Now if a sojourner or stranger close to you becomes rich, and one of your brethren who dwells by him becomes poor, and sells himself to the stranger or the sojourner close to you, or to a member of the stranger's family, after he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brothers may redeem him, or his uncle, or his uncle's son may redeem him, or anyone who is near kin to him in his family may redeem him, or if he is able, he may redeem himself. Thus he shall reckon with him who bought him. The price of his release shall be according to the number of years, from the year that he was sold to him until the year of Jubilee. It shall be according to the time of a hired servant for him. If there are still many years remaining according to them, he shall repay the price of his redemption from the money with which he was bought. And if there remain but a few years until the year of Jubilee, then he shall reckon with him, and according to his years he shall repay him the price of his redemption. He shall be with him as a yearly hired servant, and he shall not rule with rigor over him in your sight. And if he is not redeemed in these years, then he shall be released in the year of Jubilee, he and his children with him. For the children of Israel are servants to me. They are my servants whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. I am Yahweh your Elohim. So to recap, in the year of Jubilee, it is an additional year of rest for the land. It is a time when all possessions and all inheritances are returned to them who lost or sold them, and everyone returns to his inheritance and his own land and to his family. So it's a great reset. This is Yahweh's great reset, and it happens once every 50 years. We read in Leviticus 25:9 that we are told to cause a shofar of teruah to sound on Yom Kippur. And this would be marking the Jubilee year. With all of that in mind, now I'm going to read Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And Yahweh said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king, and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark." Now that is verse 4, and the New King James Version says the priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But if you look back in the original Hebrew, it actually says And seven priests shall bear seven shofars of Yovelim, or Jubilees. So the seven priests shall bear seven shofars of Jubilees. And Jubilees here is translated ram's horn. I believe this ties Jericho with Revelation and the seven trumps of Revelation, the seven shofars of Revelation, which are actually Jubilee shofars. They are Yom Kippur shofars. But continuing on, and the seven priests shall bear seven shofars of Yovelim, or Yovel, Jubilees, before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets, or the shofarot. So here we have seven times seven. They march around it 7 days, then the seventh day they march around it seven times, blowing seven shofarot. Verse 5, it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn. Again, ram's horn here is actually Jubilee, it should say, and it shall come to pass when they make or draw forth the horn of Jubilee, and when you hear the sound of the shofar, that all the people shall shout with a great shout or teruah, then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and all the people shall go up, every man straight before him. So here in verse 5, we have Jubilee, shofarot or shofars, and teruah. This is clearly connected with Yom Kippur, when we're supposed to sound, or teruah, the shofar on the Jubilee. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and all the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let seven priests bear seven shofarot of Jubilees before the Ark of Yahweh. Again, New King James says seven trumpets of ram's horns, but it's seven shofarot of Jubilee. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of Yahweh. So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven shofarot of Jubilees before Yahweh advanced and blew the shofarot, and the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the shofarot, and the rear guard came after the ark, while the priests continued blowing the shofarot. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout. So he had the ark of Yahweh circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of Yahweh. Then seven priests bearing the seven shofarot of Jubilees before the ark of Yahweh went on continually and blew with the shofarot. And the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the ark of Yahweh, while the priests continued blowing the shofarot. For a more detailed overview of how the fall of Jericho is tied to Zephaniah and Revelation, please watch our program entitled Jubilee, Shofar, Teruah, Zephaniah, Jericho, and Revelation, which can be found on our blog page at www.hiswordheals.com. So next we're going to read Exodus 19 verses 1 through 13. This is another shofar of Jubilee, though you'd never know it by reading the English translation. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai, for they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to Elohim, and Yahweh called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before them all these words which Yahweh commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, all that Yahweh has spoken we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to Yahweh, And Yahweh said to Moses, Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to Yahweh. Then Yahweh said to Moses, Go to the people, and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day Yahweh will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set the bounds for the people all around, saying, Take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. And this actually in the Hebrew right here, which is translated, when the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain, actually is, when the Jubilee draws forth, they shall ascend in the mountain. So this is the sound of the Jubilee horn is drawn forth. This was at the wedding of Mount Sinai, of course, when an offer was given by Yahweh and accepted by the people. There was an offer and acceptance, a marriage covenant, and this was done with the sound of the Jubilee horn. So far we've seen the Jubilee, the year of release, the year of return, the year of receiving your inheritance back and being freed from servitude. That is the Jubilee year, and we see that year tied to the fall of Jericho, which is tied to the seven trumps of Revelation, and this is all tied to the marriage covenant at Mount Sinai as well through the Jubilee. Very interesting in my opinion, and the Jubilee sounds on Yom Kippur at the end of the seventh Shemitah and at the beginning of the Jubilee year or the 50th year. It's very possible that this could be the Jubilee year coming up. So now let's put this all together and bring it home to our day. What might it mean for us? If we are indeed in the seventh Shemitah, it will end with the Shofar of Teruah on Yom Kippur this year, 2022. This Shofar of Teruah will end the seventh Shemitah year and begin the 50th year, which, as we just studied, is the year of Jubilee. If this is indeed the case, then this Yom Kippur shofar blast will be the shofar of joyful noise for those atoned for by the blood of Yeshua, and the shofar of sounding alarm for those who have rejected the atoning blood of Yeshua. The end of the Shemitah year heralds the commanded release of all debts and is the last chance for bondservants to have been voluntarily released with severance pay by those they are in bondage to. But then, if this is the seventh Shemitah, that's not all. In the 50th year, this coming year from Yom Kippur 2022 to Yom Kippur 2023, all inheritances are to be restored. The land of Israel is to be restored back to its rightful inheritors, and that would be all those who by faith are the seed of Abraham. I believe this is those who hold the instructions of Yahweh and have and trust in the testimony of Yeshua, those born again into the family and inheritance of Yahweh with Yeshua as their Savior and King. We all who have been in bondage in a faraway land return to our familial inheritance from Abraham through Isaac, Jacob, and Yeshua. Yeshua, as the risen son of David in the flesh, will return to his family and his inheritance from the far journey he is on. He is coming back to inherit David's throne in Jerusalem. Hallelujah! Does that mean we are at the end of the tribulation just waiting for Yeshua to come? No, obviously not. We originally thought perhaps the Jubilee year would be at the end of the tribulation to restore all things then, and this still could be the case. The Shemitah, or next seven-year cycle we are entering, which we believe is indeed the seven-year tribulation, could be the seventh cycle, with 2029 through 2030 being the Jubilee, ending in restoration. But I'll tell you why we really don't hold to this thought anymore. We think that it could be this year, Yom Kippur 2022 to Yom Kippur 2023, because it makes more sense that the restoration of all things and punishment of those that defy Yahweh's laws and years of release are the reason for the judgment of the Great Tribulation. Yahweh's people are in legal bondage right now because we've sold ourselves, and our fathers sold us over and over again over the centuries. During the Shemitahs, We always have the opportunity to be released from bond servitude, but because our inheritance has been sold and not released back to us, we just fall back into bondage and servitude. Free people must have an inheritance. So then during the Jubilees, after the seventh Shemitah, we have the opportunity to take our inheritance back. But because of our punishment and scattering around the world for our disobedience, we have not been able to do so, and the enemy has been allowed to keep our inheritance, which we forfeited so long ago. There will be a Jubilee year, and we believe that may be this year, when Yahweh says, "Enough. Your punishment is over. You can go back to your land and your inheritance as my child through the seed of Abraham, which is Yeshua." Those who are ready and watching and waiting to choose this and in faith, when Abba opens the door for this, actually go to take hold of their inheritance, will head back to the land of our fathers to claim our inheritance. We will be released from our bondage, debts, and servitude, free to reclaim our inheritance. But it will take the faith of Joshua and Caleb. The enemy, those who have enslaved us and taken our inheritance, will not be happy about this and will do all they can to keep us enslaved and to take our inheritance again for themselves. This is the reason for the judgment of the Great Tribulation. It is judgment against those that want to keep Yeshua's kingdom for themselves and also don't want to let his people go. That is why the Jubilee will be at the beginning of the Great Tribulation and not at the end. There must be a big war or upset in the Middle East that causes the current secular government to tumble and fall, which will open up the land for return and reclamation by the rightful inheritors. Then those trying to legally hold on to our inheritance in Yeshua Messiah will either repent and accept Yeshua as their door into or back into his family, or they will be cast out by Yahweh. In order for his people to return, modern spiritual Egypt and Babylon, the ones holding his people in bondage and refusing to return their inheritance, must be judged and fall, allowing for our release. Legally, it must be a Jubilee year for all of this to take place. Once back in the land for a period of time, a couple years at most, likely 3.5 years after the start of the Jubilee, the anti-Messiah will march into the land and try to take back possession and rule over it, stopping the daily thanksgiving offerings that will have been instituted there and stopping the worship of Yahweh by those of all the nations who have chosen to stream there to worship him on his holy mountain. He will set up the abomination of desolation, calling himself God, saying that he is above God and God's laws, which have restored the land and inheritance back to Yahweh's people. He will then attempt to murder and enslave all those who oppose him, which is why we are then told to flee to the wilderness, where there is prepared a place for us for the last 1260 days, or last 3.5 years, of the tribulation, during the 42 months, also 3.5 years, of the Anti-Messiah's evil reign, during the great judgments by Yahweh over the entire earth to cleanse it and refine those others of his who did not choose to go into the land when he offered them their first opportunity, just as the other 10 besides Joshua and Caleb were too afraid to go and wanted to go back to Egypt. The place of safety, we believe, will only be for those that chose to enter in and are there when the Anti-Messiah tries to take it back. The rest may be protected as they suffer and are refined through the last half of the tribulation, or may die as martyrs during this time, or may accept the mark of the beast trying to save their lives only to lose their eternity. Let us all be found watching and hoping for his restoration of our inheritance. Let's watch especially closely during these next couple years and not miss our opportunity to cross over back into our inheritance and his kingdom in Yeshua Messiah. Share this message with all that you know and pray always that we would be counted worthy to escape those things that are about to come upon the earth. May we be found safely under his wings, under the protection and guidance of our great and merciful Savior and King, Yeshua Messiah. We need to watch for his open door back to his kingdom and our inheritance, and when he says to cross over, we need to be like Joshua and Caleb, unafraid and ready to go. Our lives and the lives of our families will depend on it, not to mention our eternities if we are left in the nations under the Anti-Messiah's rule, when we will then be faced with taking his mark or being put to death, i.e., dying in the wilderness. Baruch Abba B'Shem Yahweh. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your home.